The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Wherever you are on planet Earth. And if you're listening from outer space,
well,
good
welcome.
Wherever you're having to you too.
It is a beautiful, beautiful day here in New Jersey, and
yes.
I hope it's beautiful wherever you are.
That's right. But, you know, beauty is a state of mind, because if you're looking to complain, you'll find something to complain about, even on the most beautiful of days.
But, you know, I'm sitting here with a true friend. And you know, that is the theme of today's show, True Friends. And our quote on the announcement we made about the show is, a true friend is one who inspires your greatness. And I can say unequivocally that Shia always inspires my greatness. And there's lots of components to that. It's very
well,
easy, actually.
I had
actually.
To give something up in order to do that.
What'd you have to do?
I had to give up proving that I was better.
That's,
in other words, I had to give up my insecurity.
Boy, that's tough. You know, we've been trained to compete.
Uh-huh.
We've been trained to prove that our gender, whatever gender it is secretly better than the other
no,
gender.
No, not secretly. In my family, it was
overtly. Yeah, secretly or not so secretly.
Right.
And also, you know, we have this series of little videos that have gone out on Facebook and online and through our website that were recorded in Costa Rica last year, people expressing themselves what practical enlightenment means to them. And there's one that repeatedly plays for me in my mind's eye.
I know the one you mean.
Yeah, it's one that Hilly did. And she said, practical enlightenment for me includes something to the effect of seeing my friend's successes and brilliance and not feeling envious. And I think it's so wonderful when you can start living in a collaborative environment where you can support others in being great without feeling diminished yourself.
Well, I think the key to that is listening.
That is true.
Because if you don't listen when people speak,
you're insecure.
That's right. Well, you never let them feel heard. See, true listening is suspending or holding in abeyance your own internal chatter when somebody's speaking. You know, the one that agrees and disagrees and thinks, oh, well, they should have used this word rather than that word. Oh, I know that already. Oh, in other words, they're saying, that internal dialogue that we listen to that thinks it knows everything doesn't.
You know, you say about true listening.
And you're not it. You're not that dialogue.
So that's true.
So if you truly listen to somebody, your being shines through.
We're on the same track. Because I was...
What were you going to say? Maybe I read your mind.
You might have. I actually... Because when you listen to someone, you allow them to shine.
Yes.
And it occurred to me, Yesterday I was speaking to my friend Amy. Shout out to Amy, who is the co-owner of Tag Online. If you've ever been on our website, which you probably are now, you may be accessing the show by going through our site first. They have done such a brilliant job with our beautiful and complex website. But Amy's also a very close friend of both Shia and mine. And I was speaking to her the other day, and we were having a lovely conversation, and I all of a sudden found that my eye got diverted by an email that came in. And I missed part of her sentence. And I realized that it's so easy to
check out.
In a moment, check out, not listen. I brought myself back and spoke to her right away. Can you say that again? And of course, she didn't take it personally. I didn't take it personally. I think we're so easily visually stimulated. So today, don't know where you are listening from, what you're up to, but it is easy to be visually stimulated or to think of an example of something we're talking about. Before you know it, you're thinking rather than listening. So if you keep bringing yourself back to being here, wherever here is, wherever this moment is, being here in your life will transform as a byproduct. And also friendship will glow.
Right. That's where most of us get lost. We're trying to get somewhere. It's been socially conditioned to try to get somewhere as though somewhere else is better than where you are. So that's just a cultural download that we've all been given. And now the question is, who's going to run your life, you or your cultural download? And which is you? You know, how do you find you in the mess that we've been inherited from our cultures?
Now, our approach is not psychological, not problem solution. It really is anthropological. And an anthropologist is a person who studies a culture or cultures just to see how they're put together, not necessarily to do anything with the information. And as Shai is talking about cultures, we all come from a unique culture. Even if we're a twin, our culture, our interior culture, is unique to us. And if you start to notice how you perceive the world, how you see the things you've learned in your family, along with your language, without judging what you see.
That's an effort to transform. Oh, by the way, we finish each other's sentences.
We do.
So just get used to it.
We're not. But it also allows you to be friendly, because you may have spontaneous, automatic judgments about your friends that you hide from yourself or hide from them because you take it personally that you had that thought run by. But when you recognize you're not your thoughts, that those can just spit out of a machine and they don't have to have anything to do with reality, if you resist them, they own you. They become huge.
You know that idea of quieting your mind, quieting your thoughts? That's the first principle of instantaneous transformation. Anything you resist persists, grows stronger, and dominates your life.
Or in this case, grows louder.
Right. Some of the noisiest minded people we've ever met are meditators because they're trying to quiet their mind.
The second principle is you can only be exactly as you are in this moment of now. So right now, if we were to snap our fingers or if you were to take a momentary selfie, you could only be exactly the way you were in that moment.
You can only be where you are in the moment. You can only be how you are in the moment. And your life circumstances can only be what they are.
So that includes potentially having judgments about yourself or about your friends. And the third principle is anything you see without judging or bring awareness to.
And anything you allow to be the way it is completes itself in the instant that you see it. But if you judge it, you add energy to it and it sticks around. Anyway, we have a caller, and she's calling all the way from Hong Kong.
So let's take her and see what she has to say. Hi, Cheryl.
Oh, hi, Errol. Hi, Shia. How are you?
We're
excellent.
Great.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Actually, normally I'm in Hong Kong, but this time I'm on a very similar time zone. I'm in the U.S.
You are? Where are you?
Yes. I'm in Texas.
All right.
Well, God love Texas.
Yes.
Definitely. Or is it God bless Texas, I guess? Are you visiting family?
I'm sorry?
Are you visiting family?
I am visiting family, and related to this topic, when I first flew in, I was visiting friends in Austin, some very, very dear friends that I've had for more than 20 years.
That's great.
Sweet.
What can we do for you?
Well, this topic is just so interesting. As I mentioned, on the one hand, I'm here and I'm visiting friends, and they are so dear to me. And then, of course, living back in Hong Kong, I have friends that are, I guess, newer friendships. Both sides, both of the world, and all over the world, I have friends that do inspire me. But one thing I've struggled with, or had this feeling that I sometimes get caught up in my own day-to-day things, that I don't put in enough time, or time, I guess, and to nurture these friendships, to nurture my friendships, or to really be there for friends. I feel like I'm always caught up in, running errands or work or just different things that I feel like I.
Well, you know,
I don't make that time.
Cheryl, this sounds a lot like people who talk about their children and spending quality time with their children. Friends and children could be synonymous here. If you are busy while you're with your friends in your thoughts about other things, they will not feel nurtured with the time they spend with you. But if whilst you're with them, you are there with them rather than working on other things in your thoughts, then your friendships will probably blossom, because your friends will feel well taken care of.
The other thing is, have you ever heard of the phenomena that it's an acronym, it's a series of letters that represent something else, that is out called FOMO?
Yes.
describing is a subset of FOMO. And for those of you who don't know, FOMO is short for fear of missing out. And I really feel like, for myself, Sean and I get very busy in our lives attending to where we are. And like you, we have very dear friends all over the world. You are one of them. You're currently in Texas, but sometimes or generally you're in Hong Kong. And that we didn't know you'd planned a trip to Austin and to visit your family doesn't make you less dear to us. But I find that if I don't follow on, for instance, Facebook all the time, and I don't know what people are up to all the time, and I'm not liking their photos, there's this pressure built in this current culture where suddenly you might feel like you are less
loved
or loving. I have a question. Just in your experience of Shai and I, it's a leading question, but please be honest. When you see us, and because sometimes you'll fly in and do a course in New York with us, or you'll come to Hamburg, or we'll meet you next perhaps in Costa Rica, where you do courses. If we haven't seen you for a period of time and haven't been corresponding regularly and sending you little love notes, when you see us, do you feel less loved?
I don't think so, but I think the thought flashes, or maybe it's my own insecurity, but I don't feel it. Like, I feel you guys are genuinely loving of everyone, but I think I do. That thought flashes through my mind.
What, that we don't like you?
Yeah, or yeah, just not just to you guys, but yeah, just if I haven't seen someone in a while, but yeah.
Well, so more of a thought. But you see, Cheryl, Ariel asked you the question about our response to you, not other people.
Oh. Yeah. I don't feel it deep down, but I feel like it's a thought that passes through my mind.
Well, I love that. I love that it's a thought that passes through your mind. You recognize that it's a thought. And that's probably why you have concerns that other people may think that you don't care about them, because you have that concern yourself, that insecurity.
Yeah, and you know, you judge others the way you judge yourself. So if you're hard on yourself, you'll be hard on other people. The easy answer is to start liking yourself.
Yeah, I like that as well in relation to what you were saying earlier about being there with friends when I'm there with them. I feel sometimes that I do judge, or especially, not necessarily especially, but with the topic or the write-up for the show is being inspired and inspiration. I do have a lot of friends who are, you know, have their own businesses, and I'm really happy for them. But then sometimes if things aren't going very well, I feel like I tend to judge or want to try to help them, but it comes. I feel it's more judging rather than helpful.
I imagine you judge them to the degree that you compare yourself when they are doing well and you perceive yourself as doing less.
Or to the degree that they judge themselves.
Found that when somebody's being hard on themselves, they put out almost like a psychic request that we, as their friend, treats them the same way they treat themselves. So sometimes when I have those kind of thoughts, Cheryl, that are unkind, in fact, it happened just yesterday. Shia and I were having a thought about this young lady we were going to have a conversation with. And the thoughts were not in the normal way we perceive her. And so when we got on the phone with her, we said, "Are you okay? Are you being hard on yourself?" And she looked and told the truth, and out came this whole huge lineup of things that were out of sync with herself in her life. So sometimes when you judge them, they may be judging them. They may think they should be doing better than they are. They may be embarrassed.
Yeah, I can see that because I think I tend to think feel like I do it with everyone. But now that I'm listening to you guys, I feel that it's only with certain people, and I do know them too. As people who are hard on themselves or want to do more or better, or so, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, you know what else makes a lot of sense?
What's that?
We have to go to a break right now.
You want to come back just after the break?
Yeah, I think this is great. I really enjoyed the our conversation just now. I'm fine. I'm good. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you so much for calling in today. It was a treat speaking with you.
Okay, thanks. Nice speaking to you guys, too.
Okay.
We'll be back shortly, everyone.
So come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com. Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. Transformationmadeeasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back.
You know, in a few weeks, September 23rd, 24th, and 25th to be exact, we are doing a new course in New York City called Practical Enlightenment, and you are invited. You know, you may live quite a distance, but you know, in the modern world we live in, you could almost beam yourself aboard. You know, you could, planes are not that expensive. And there are numerous flights into the New York area from all over the world. So wherever you're listening to this show, you know, we are accessible. Come join us. We'll have fun together.
Also,
your life will transform.
Might. Right after that, in Hamburg, Germany, we are doing two courses, The Freedom to Breathe on Thursday, October 6th. And then A Life Full of Joy, Every Moment Counts, on the 7th, 8th, and 9th.
So
you can find out more about all of that on our website, and you can register there at transformationmadeeasy.com.
You know, it's never been easier to live a transformed life, to be enlightened. It's never been easier. It's always been a mystery, but we've solve the mystery.
Some of the hints on the mystery solving are in our book under the same name, Practical Enlightenment, which won the New York Book Festival Best Book on Spirituality or Religion.
The Northwest Book Festival Best Book on Spirituality and Religion.
And the Mom's Choice Book Awards. So Practical Enlightenment, you can find that through our website or up on Amazon. Check us out. You know, the more you invest, the easier it gets.
The more you invest in you. I mean, what else is there to invest in?
You know, I know we have a couple of callers waiting, but I'm assuming that Cheryl is still listening to the show in Texas. And I have a thought for you, Cheryl, after we got off the line with you. And it occurs to me this. When you get so busy going forward in your life and trying to accomplish something, you're not really here in real time to register the difference you make and how much people enjoy your company. And that can be in the little places, like the person who's serving you a meal, and in the bigger places, like with your friends and family, who can also be your friends when you are here for it. We have a caller. Let's take her.
Yes.
Andrea?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said Pia. That's your mom's name. Andrea?
Yeah, it's Andrea. Hi.
I bet you were thinking about Pia because we were talking about how your family can be friends, and that's your mom, and she's coming with you to
Practical Enlightenment in New York in a few weeks.
Yes, that was so cool. You were talking about this, and I was thinking it's so amazing that I get to go to a trip with my mom to New York.
Mm. You know what?
Where are you coming from?
Yeah, where are you coming from?
I'm flying in from Switzerland, so nothing's too far away.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, I saw that you would be calling in today because we had a note that you were calling in. And I was thinking about how friendly that is, that you experienced transformation and you invited your mom to partake in it. Wow. That's pretty cool.
Oh, that's really cool. Yes, now that you're saying it, yes, it's really cool. And she loves it. And I just love, you know, to invite my friends and everybody. And if anybody out there wants to join us for the Practical Enlightenment course, please do. We get to meet. That would be
cool.
You know,
speaking to Amy, as I was speaking about earlier on the show, speaking to Amy earlier, and when her son Alex, she and Andy have two sons, but her son Alex was little, I remember he came with them to Costa Rica one year, and he had created a game for himself, standing on the back of the couch, and he created a slide with a pillow, and he was sliding down on the floor, and he thought it was so clever. He was very young, and he looked at Shia and me and at Amy, and he pointed to each one of us, and he went, "You look at me, you look at me, you look at me," and then he'd do his trick, and then he'd get up and do it again. And recently, and he's 14 now, he and her other son went to an arcade and they were winning prizes. And they came back and they said, "Mom, do you like pretzels or popcorn?" And the question was really out of context. But she's like, "Well, I like both." And it turned out that they wanted to turn in all of their winning tickets to either get her a popcorn maker or a pretzel maker. That it went from a young version of "you look at me," which is where a lot of us started with our parents.
And a lot of us are still doing.
To finding ways to give back to their mom. And I was very touched by that.
That's so sweet.
You know, you've given a great gift to your mom in that, you know, you shared a possibility that you discovered because a friend of yours told you about our workshop.
I mean, you could have been, "Well, look, Mom, look how great I'm doing. Don't you wish you were me?" Or you can be with her in a way that she likes herself.
And that might be the definition of a true friend, that when you're with them, you like yourself.
That's cool. Yes, that's true, because I was thinking, you know, these days when I think about my parents, I think of them more as my friends. You know, when I was younger, I would never have called and just asked how they are and what they're up to. Or even last Sunday, I asked them if we can go do something together. I would have never done that. And these days it's just like, yeah, being with friends. And that's really a gift for me as well. I feel like I gave myself a gift as well, you know, by inviting, by me going to transformational workshops with you, and also by me inviting my mom. It's really nice.
Sweet. Did you have a question for us?
I actually have, yes. I sometimes struggle with, I feel like my loyalty. I had, in the last year particularly, there were some friendships that I had over years that just went like into different directions. Like I felt like me and the other person, we were just going, our lives were going into different directions. And I suddenly had the feeling also that these people were not inspired by what I'm doing anymore or how I live my life. It actually kind of naturally went apart, but also sometimes I feel like I should keep these friendships. It's a weird thing. I feel like I signed up for this friendship once, so I'm sticking with it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, I have a question. What if we broaden your idea of friendship, where it might include that it's more friendly not to impose your reality on someone who doesn't share it, but allow them to go their way?
See, a lot of people, Andrea, are very insecure. And the idea of something new or different is frightening to them. And they knew you once. And so they want that person so they don't have to learn how to deal with a different person, the person you've become.
Yes, and I love that. And that new idea about that's friendly as well, to let them do their thing.
Not bad because they are afraid to see that you've changed into a different person or transformed. They're not bad. That's not a bad thing. It's just that they'd like it if you stayed the same so they wouldn't have to adjust to the changes in life. Because people get upset with change, any change.
The other thing is that sometimes we bond with people over early versions of ourselves. And I'll give you an example. When Shai and I first were dating, I had a support group of ladies, various ages. I was in my early 20s, and it was a range of ladies up into her early 50s. And we were supporting each other in our acting career, you know, auditioning, getting out there. And we met a couple of times a week in the mornings, and we were part of an association where we went and we auditioned for things in the evenings. We were very close. But one of the things that we bonded over, aside from acting, was our opinions in regards to men and how they were and who they were. And when Shia came into my life and I was deeply happy, it was very upsetting to the woman who was getting a divorce and the one whose husband didn't apparently support her career and the one who ignored all people who wanted to date her. And so when we got together, they regularly wanted to say disparaging things about men in general and Shia in particular, even though they didn't know him, but just the placeholder, a man I was happy with in my life, was abhorrent to them. And there came a point where I said, if you keep bad-mouthing him, we can't be friends anymore. Even back, this is way before transformation, I found that it just really is like fingernails on chalkboard when people did their best to destroy another person's happiness. Interestingly,
I love that. That's cool.
You see, a lot of friendships are based in insecurity. And if your friend got truly happy, they might leave you.
If they get ahead, it's somehow a problem.
If they find a relationship, then you might not spend as much time with them. And so there is a vested interest in some people keeping other people from true happiness so they can maintain a friendship.
My high school just had its 40th reunion from graduating. And whilst I couldn't be there, I've been in contact with a number of people I was close friends with in my high school years. They've lived very distinctly different lives than I have. But I find them wonderful. And they find me wonderful. And we're going to be getting together in November when I go to visit my family. I don't believe that great periods of time are a bad thing. I'm really happy they went off and lived their life and I've lived mine, and this, should we so choose, can be the basis of a new friendship, as opposed to trying to hang on to something when we were going distinctly different ways.
Thank you so much. That is so cool. That just, I can see that, and it gives me a whole other perspective on friendships as well, and it just, I feel like a weight that I've been holding on to falls off my shoulders. That's really cool.
That's great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have another caller. Shall we take him?
Absolutely.
Hey, Joe.
Hello.
Where are you calling
are you?
From today? We're good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Denville, New Jersey.
Well, then you're sharing some of the lovely weather we are. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. First time calling.
Well, thanks for calling.
And thanks for being brave and stepping in. What can we do for you?
I was reflecting on the topic, and you guys kind of touched upon some of where I was going, but in the beginning of the show, we were talking. But I find myself with true friends and inspiration. I find often I get inspired, but then I get motivated by things. But then really reflecting on it, I'm wondering how much of it really is that I'm comparing myself and I'm trying to have what other people have. And I find myself going along the path, and then I kind of realize, what did I get myself into? maybe because I'm not as successful at it, or, things just went differently than what I thought.
Well, Joe, life always goes differently than we think. If you are expecting some endeavor, like playing golf, for instance, to make you happy, if you get good at it, and you play it, and you find yourself not happy, it's not got to do with the golf. It's got to do with the mindset that you bring to whatever you're up to. So the game is to discover how to be satisfied in your life, no matter what the circumstances are. And it is possible.
The other thing is, I'm not sure which endeavors that you've gotten inspired about and then at some point said, what have I gotten myself into? But I'm not sure it really matters. It may be that whatever the endeavor, you underestimate the thought process that comes along with the learning curve. That when you're trying something new, you're learning something new, you're investing in something new, there's generally a learning curve with anything, whether it's a language, whether it's discovering how to live in the moment, whether it's a sport, an activity. And so what's inspiring at first, there may be challenges that come along with it. And then if you have those automatic thoughts that say, man, I'm no good at this, I'll never make it, and if you actually believe those are you or believe them to be true, then you will look at the people around you and you will make a faulty assumption. You will assume that they don't have thoughts like that too. The only difference between you and many of the people you know is it's very possible some of them hear those thoughts, include those thoughts, know that they have nothing to do with reality, and then take a look at whether or not they want to do that activity or endeavor.
You know, Joe, Ariel and I are into fly fishing, and most specifically spey casting, which is a two-handed rod, and I'll tell you more about it when we come back from the break. How's that?
Okay, sounds good.
Actually, okay. We'll be back shortly, everyone, so
come on
back.
And don't miss
being here.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Success, health, satisfaction, now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Canes books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Hey, welcome back. We want to shout out to our listeners in Belgium and in New Zealand,
Israel, Singapore,
the United States,
and Germany. That's this week's shout out. We have people from all over the world. If you haven't heard your country represented, write to us. Go to our website, transformationmadeeasy.com, click on Contact Us, and we will do a shout out to you in your country. Also, the next Monday Night Alive in New York City is Monday, September 20th. The next international conference call is the following day on Tuesday. Did I say September 20th? It's the 19th.
19th.
The 19th, the next day, September 20th. There will be a meetup next week in New York City. You can find out all about the local happenings in the Say Yes to Your Life community on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com. Also, if you just want to get newsletters announcing what's up, go to Taste of Excellence on our site, and you will get a free multimedia gift package along with subscribing, including links to some of these radio shows, to videos with us, also article, question and answers. Really quite a neat thing we put together. So,
are we ready?
We are ready.
Okay. Hey, Joe, you with us?
I'm back.
Okay, so are we. So here's the deal. You know, there's a very steep learning curve in spay casting. That's using a two-handed fly rod that's about 13 or 14 feet long. And sometimes you can't do it right. I mean, you know, you get speedy, you get thinking, and what's wrong with me? I don't fit. It doesn't work. Why am I doing this? All those thoughts come up. And Ariel said something to me on the break when I mentioned that. She said, you know, even your major league pitchers
in baseball
that are really excellent at what they do have bad days. You know, they can't get a pitch to work someday. So, you know, there will be times when life does not show it the way you would prefer.
I have one other thing to possibly look at for you. And I perceive myself generally as quite capable. Except for when I'm already upset, then the thought processes might change to what have I gotten myself into. So I think when that happens for you, Joe, you tend to think that it is about the activity that you are currently thinking about rather than that type of thought is simply a red flag or an indicator that you may be upset, disturbed, resisting something, feeling overwhelmed in some other area of your life.
Yes, it's very true. You know, I understand the learning curve, and I do have those self-defeating thoughts. And I lately, with the support of a friend also who's kind of inspired me, I have been able to work through those things. But I guess what I've been getting myself into is not something like that's like if I find that I don't okay, this is not for me, okay? Whether I'm, you know, deterred by the learning curve or whatever, I find that it's not easy for me to get out of, because I financially kind of got myself in a situation where it's not something that I can just say, oh, I don't like doing this anymore, and I can just be on to the next thing. So I find myself having to then work myself out of a hole.
Well, I don't quite know what you're talking about, because you're not giving me enough specifics to get a picture.
Lately, it's real estate. I got inspired to buy a second home, and I underestimated everything that was involved. And at the time, I was very gung-ho. It was very easy to get into. But then I just found that I underestimated a lot of different things. And over the years, the last past year, I did learn a lot of stuff to help me cope and manage it. But I'm finding that even with having that increased knowledge, I'm realizing this is really not for me.
Well, that then, you know, you
have
look
options
and see what,
from
yeah,
that point.
You look and see what you want to do.
But I'll tell you what really doesn't work is beating on yourself for having gotten into it in the first place, because you got into it with the best of intentions. It may be turning out now to be different than you expected, not what you want, and not something you want to continue with, or it may be something that you need to continue with just because of the circumstances. But there's a difference between doing it as a victim and doing it as if it's your idea. And I'll give you an example. We have a friend of ours who, through some mismanagement in her early life, by the time she came to being honest with herself, discovered she was $90,000 in debt. And she needed to pay that back. And she realized that it was going to require a lifestyle change. There have been times in the ensuing years, and now she's down to having very, very little debt left. And, you know, our hats are off to her.
Under $10,000.
Yeah, I mean, that's
so
just
she's
amazing.
She's gotten rid of about 90% of the debt.
There have been times in that period when she was paying when she was a victim. And there are times when she's been going about it as if it's her idea and she can't think of anything other than currently having $58,000 or $42,000 or $36,000. Like this is perfect. The difference is how she perceives herself in that time frame. The difference is her ability to be friendly to herself and others, her ability to be satisfied and productive.
See, look, what if you didn't make any mistakes? What if it was all perfect? Even now, in retrospect, it may look like it was a mistake, but at the time, it was the only thing you could have done. And how we know that? You did it.
Right.
And beating on yourself for what you did once does nothing but destroy the current moment of your life.
Not only that, there are thousands and thousands of people who did that in the real estate bubble here in the United States. And, you know, you can either...
Well, yeah, but you see, that other people did it doesn't really matter. What really matters is that you'll use that as an opportunity to be unkind to yourself.
To prove an already ongoing story about your...
inadequacies.
Or your something.
Or lack of something.
Right, like I've done it before and I keep doing it.
Right.
To get myself into messes.
Right. But maybe you don't, you see.
Maybe it's not a mess. Maybe it's
an opportunity.
Well, like I said, I did learn a lot from it, and I actually kind of impressed myself with how I've handled it over the last year, and I've kind of felt like I've really given it some really good effort to minimize, you know.
I got a story for you.
Okay.
I got a story for you. Last night, I was about to turn on the dishwasher, and Ariel was down the basement. And this weekend, we had a leak in the plumbing underneath the kitchen sink. And I hear her yelling, "It's raining down here.
It's raining from the light fixture."
So I quick looked under the sink and I saw that the plumbing had let loose. And I could use that as an opportunity to come down on myself for not doing it right the first time. But what I did was I took the trap, the plumbing trap, all the pipes apart, went down the basement, worked on them to get them to work properly, put it back together, and now it is 100% fixed. So I just feel good about what I did. I'm not a plumber, but if you're present to what's going on, you can fix just about anything.
It really, what Shai is talking about is really key in truly being friends and being a true friend and being friendly. As Shai is to himself, so he is to his friends, including me, that he was not unkind to himself means that in circumstances where there's more pressure of some kind in our lives, he will not be unkind to me. When I said it's raining, it wasn't like, "It's raining, you dummy. You should have." There was no judgment. It was a fact. It was raining from the light fixture. So I go back to our earlier book, which you may or may not have read, How to Have a Magical Relationship. It really starts with how to have a relationship with yourself. And the key is being kind to yourself.
So that's what we suggest, Joe. And
we do have one more person holding.
So thank you so much for calling in today. And we want to take them before the end of the hour. So we wish you a very lovely day.
You're welcome.
Okay. See you soon.
Okay. Bex, are you with us? Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oxford in England.
Oxford in England.
Cool. I love hearing your voice. Oxford in England.
Yes, it's very nice here.
Very nice.
The sun is shining, so it's good.
Awesome. What can we do for you?
What you were just saying at the end of the last call was sort of leading on to what I wanted to say. Which is that I think I have a divide between, so my friendships I feel are more fulfilling in some ways and I can be myself more with a lot of my friends than I can with my closest relationships like my husband or my mother. And I think we both feel like that sometimes, that we can sort of have more fun and be sort of relax more with our friends.
You're talking about you and your husband now, yes?
Yeah, and I think it would be nice to be able to have that with him.
It would be.
Yeah.
But, you know, you say you're friends, and we don't have much time, so I'm going to cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Your friends may have opinions about men that support you in not being as close with your husband is as possible.
It's possible that you can unwittingly be reinforcing the separation. Mm. But also, let's go back to the three principles. If you resist the fact that currently you're not always as close to your husband, we'll just pick one for the moment. We'll leave your mom out of it for the moment. And not as close to your or don't feel as close to your husband as you do your friends, if you resist that, the divide will get bigger. The second is you can only feel as intimate with him as you do right in this moment. And that's going to be a fluid thing. How you feel right now may be different than how you feel tonight or how you felt this morning. And the third is anything you look at, see, bring awareness to without judging completes itself.
So you may see certain things in the way you've been relating to your husband that you weren't aware of that has produced a divide between you.
And it may include holding back, you not fully listening to him, so you're not fully connected to begin with. It could include not really being honest because you have a fear of loss if you say straight how you see something. Because true friendship flourishes in a state of non-judgmental honesty. And so that is the place to start. If you start observing the phenomena of your relationship,
rather than judging it as it should be a way that it's not,
you may really discover how to have it fly, because you may just see a moment when you can step in or support or endorse, or you may discover moments where you're not listening or not being fully honest, or you're not stepping into physical intimacy when you really want it and things get dull. So just bring attention to it. You may be really surprised how easy it is.
And with that, we have to close the show. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you very much. That's great.
Yes, we'll be back next week. And the show, it's good. It'll be a good one for you too, Bex. It's called Happiness Amnesia Again. So tune in next week because we'll be back. And don't miss
being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.